Well, I do appreciate the invitation to be here. And, you know, every time you go out and you visit and you go somewhere different in the country and you meet a new church, you meet a new church family, it always takes me back to Mark 10 and 29. It tells us that when we give things up, no one gave anything up, that we have a hundredfold in houses and in family. And you know what we do? Because I came in last night and I never met the brother and sister before. And, you know, I came in and I felt as welcome as if I was at a family member's house that I've had my whole life. And so it's a wonderful blessing to have that. And until you've experienced it, you just don't know what it is. And you can't really appreciate what we have until you've experienced that. And, you know, that's one thing about the true church is, it doesn't matter where we go in the country, we got family. And we can go from, you know, all up and down the East Coast, you can go to the West Coast, you can go anywhere, and you've got family. And it's a wonderful thing to do. And I do beg an interest in your prayers and for what's on my mind today. And I will tell you that, like the brother said, I've been liberated since November. And my problem is that I've talked the Bible since I came into the Old Baptist Church, since about 19 years ago when I started to come to the church with my wife. And I've always talked the Bible. I've talked it with preachers for as long as I can remember. I remember your pastor long time ago. When he was up in Illinois, we'd spend time outside till wee hours in the morning talking Bible. And I'd want them to explain to me, you know, tell me why this is right. Tell me why, you know, you believe that your way, your thoughts, this way that you're preaching it is the only way. And I thank the Lord that He blessed me to see it and to come. And that's why, if you would have ever known me prior to you, and your preacher who did, you would probably be asking, brother, why'd you invite this brother here today? You know, you'd be, so thank goodness that you didn't know me back in the day, and you only know me from this point forward. So we'll thank the good Lord for that. But what I want to look at is, and before we get into the gospel account of John, I want to look at the three denials by Peter denying Christ. But when you look at the gospel accounts, we know that the gospel accounts, they're all right. They're all perfect. And they might not always say the same thing. And when you stop and think about that, it's because there's different vantage points. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Vantage Point, but it's a good illustration of that right there, because every one of them are telling the truth of what they see. They just all see something differently because they're at a different angle. They're at a different thing. They can only hear certain things. And so they show like seven different ways that they see it. And so you get to see it through the eyes of each one of these people. Well, that's the beauty about this right here, is we get to see it through Luke's eyes, through John's eyes. You know, we get to see it through the different vantage points. And that's why when you see something that might be over here, you go look over in another gospel account. It doesn't say the exact same thing, but you get to see more of that right there, and you get to get a greater picture, and you're blessed to have these different vantage points. So I'd like to look at the over there where Peter denies Christ, and Lord willing, we're going to look at it and pray that the Lord will be with us, that we can gain something from it, and that whatever we come to today, that we'll be honoring to Him and we'll be edifying to His people. When we sit over there in Matthew 18, before we get to Matthew 18 and we start that, John 18, you go back to John 13, and when we look at John 14, and he says, Peter's talking to Christ here, and he says, I will not leave you. In verse 18, John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Christ is telling him, and I will come to you. He says, yet a little while the word seeth him more, but I see him more because I live with you, and I shall live with you also. I apologize, I went to the wrong place there. I'm trying to get to where Peter's sitting here, and he's telling him that he will follow him to death, and he will follow him to the prison, to death. It doesn't matter where he goes, he will follow him. And he he says, Christ tells him, he says, before the cock shall crow, you will deny me three times. Peter is gung-ho. He is sitting there and he's saying, Lord, I'm telling you, I will follow you anywhere. I will. It doesn't matter if you're going to prison, if you're going to be going to death. It doesn't matter. I will follow you. And Christ knows. He knows everything. And he knows. And he says, brother, you're going to deny me three times before that cow crows. And, you know, it's sometimes hard for us to believe. And you can picture when we're in the house of God, sometimes I when I look at that scenario right there, I think of myself when I'm in the house of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, when we're meeting out and it's all brothers and sisters of the like same faith. And we're being lifted up and we've heard good preaching and we just feel close to the Lord. I mean, I feel like, you know what? You could say anything and I'm going to follow the Lord anywhere. I don't care what it is. I don't care what persecutions are going to come. I'm going to follow Him. And it's so easy for us sometimes on a Sunday morning to feel that. You know, to be that eager about it and be in here and say, this is what I'm going to do. And then we see, you know, Peter's not that different than us. So when we see what happens when Peter gets taken, when they take Christ off, his denying of Christ is not that different than us. We can't, and I won't speak for any of you all, but speak for myself, that you think about how many times I denied Christ just today, yesterday, in my lifetime. You start adding those up. How many times that I know that He's blessed me to know what's right and what's wrong, and I've went and I've done what's wrong. That's denying Christ. That's denying Him, saying, you know what, you've blessed me to know what's true and what to do, but you know what, I'm just going to go do this. That's what it is, and that's denying Him. And so Peter, yes, Peter's sitting there denying Him right in front of Christ in the flesh, but you know what, we're in front of Christ daily and every time. And so when we deny Him and do the things that we're not to do and do the things that we've been instructed not to do, or we don't do the things that we should be doing, that's denying Christ. And He can see us and He's right there with us, and we can say, you know what, He's right there, just like what Peter was. So Peter, I feel like a lot of times I can relate to Peter when he's saying, I'll do whatever, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go, I am right there with you. And then he's so gung-ho about it, and that's the way I feel a lot of times on Sunday. But I can tell you, by Monday morning sometimes, the world seems like it's already beating me down. You know, it's already taken a hold of me. And it's amazing because I don't even think I've, a lot of times, gotten out of bed and I feel like the world's beating me down. So I don't know how that works, but the world is a powerful place. But you know what? We have a much powerful God and Savior. And so we need to be thankful for that. But let's go over here to John 18. Let's look at these three accounts, and we're going to try to look at some of the other gospel accounts and look at something that, from their vantage point, on what they were blessed to write, on what they say. When we get down in there, I think it's interesting that when they take Christ, and this is not one of his three denials, but when they take Christ away, Peter's following, but I love that it's specifically said that he follows afar off. He follows him afar off. And all the accounts, it says afar off. And sometimes I feel like that's where I am. You know, I'm following Christ, but I'm following him afar off. I'm not necessarily denying him. I'm not doing things that I shouldn't be doing. But you know what? I'm not putting him right there in front. I'm not putting him there in the front of my mind. I'm not putting him in every step that I take. He's not the first thing that there is. And I'm following him afar off. And that's what Peter does. He follows him afar off. And so when they get there, the damsel that's holding the door, she looks at him, verse 17, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Well, we see the first denial that Peter has done to Christ. She sits there and says, "Are you not one of his disciples?" And he says, "No, I'm not." You know, he just plays it off very cool. "No, I'm not." And he just walks on over with these other men. I love that he's walking over, and the picture we get is he's walking over to go warm himself. You know, when we separate ourselves from the Lord, when we don't follow after the Lord, you know, it gets to be this spot to where we feel cold. We feel we're in a dark place. Something's not right. You know, a lot of times when we're doing the things we shouldn't be doing, and we finally break down and we look to the Lord, you know, you've all experienced that feeling, that overwhelming, that, you know what? It's this warmth, it's this joy, it's this peace that comes over us because we followed the Lord. And he's going over there and he's going to warm himself. And I can't imagine, there's no fire standing with men of the world that we can get around that will warm us like the peace and joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing on the outside of the exterior world can give us that thing that the Lord can bless us with, that peace inside. And, you know, he's sitting over there, and you start to picture this. Peter walks over. Christ is over here, and he's starting to get questioned. And Peter goes over here with these men. And he's sitting, and I can just picture it's like a darker area. They're cold. You know, they've got a fire going. They're sitting there. They're trying to warm up. And they've got the light from the fire. You know what? He could be right over there with Christ, and he could be warm. He could have all the light he would need. He could have everything that he could need right there. No matter what persecutions are coming, he could be right there and have everything that he could ever need if he went that way. But no, he didn't. He denied him and said, "I'm not one of them." And he goes that way with those men. So now we see in verse 19, the high priest, they're asking Jesus of the disciples and of his doctrine. And so Christ is being questioned here, and he's going through that. And then go down to verse 25. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Then said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of the disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. And the servants of the high priest, being his kinsmen, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." So we see the three denials there. And when we look at that, we see that, you know, Peter, there's another example of Peter. He was gung-ho for the Lord. He was, when he was right there by the Lord, right there in the garden, you know, he took out the sword and he said, "Look, and somebody's coming after my Lord," and he cuts his ear off. He said, "I'm there for you. I will do whatever." He didn't care what was going to come at him for cutting off. But then when it comes and he feels like he is alone and Christ is being questioned and it's getting, you know, the rubber's meeting the road, he's denying him. So let's go over and let's look at a few spots in Luke 22 and see some. Let's go first to Mark 26, or Matthew 26, apologize. Let's go to Matthew 26, and there's a spot here when he denies him the second time that you see he says, they're saying, "No, I know you're one of the Lord's disciples because your speech." And I know they're talking about the speech that he was Galilean and that they understood his speech. But you know what, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that they can understand our speech out there in the world, that they can say, "You know what? You're a child of God. That, you know what? You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ." I love right here when he says that, "No, I know you are because of your speech." When you go to verse 73, he says, "Your speech, it's clear that you are one of his." And when we go out there in the world today, when we face everything, they need to understand that you can tell by not just our speech, but our actions, our doing, that, you know what? We are children of God. We do stop to do what we can, to do what's right. And it doesn't mean it has to be just for ones that are of the same faith, the Primitive Baptist. No, it means for all those. It says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that right right there in one of the commandments right there to loving our neighbors, it's important that you can tell the Lord knew, He knows everything on how to write things. Because He didn't say love your brethren, because then we could start making excuses of why we don't help people out in the world because they're not our brothers and sisters in the church. But He said love your neighbor, and anybody can be our neighbor. It doesn't matter who it is, but we need to put them and love them and do for them like we would ourselves. And so He's sitting there, and those things right there, they need to be able to identify us. They need to be able to say, yes, I can see it. That is the child of God. That is, you know what? When they sit around here, and I'm sorry, I don't even know what city we're in right now. But when they're in this and around this community, I drove through Tampa, so we'll call it Tampa. I'm not sure exactly where we are. It's not important. But when you drive through here, and they say, you know, I think that's one of those ones from that little Union Primitive Baptist Church out there. You know, they can see it. And they can say, those people do what's right. They put people first. They do the things that they need to do. You know, that speech right there where it says he's identified by that speech, and like I said, I do understand they're talking about his accent and where he came from. But we can look at that and apply it to our lives, that we need to make sure our speech, when we're out there, that we speak differently than what the world does. I mean, if you listen to how the world speaks today and what is acceptable today, I mean, I'm getting older. I'm not that old, but it has changed from what it used to be from when I was young. I mean, there's things that are said nowadays that no one even bats an eye at. No one even, you know, their head doesn't turn, nothing like that. And when I was young, you just wouldn't say some of those things. I mean, it was not something that you would say or do or even think of saying out loud. And guess what? These nowadays, things are said and done that just, you know, it blows my mind. And I can't even imagine the ones that are even older, what it does, because they have seen a change. They've seen a cultural change that is like no other that I can't even imagine. Because the things that they went through that was absolutely, you know, this is how it's done. And even ones that didn't go to church, even ones that didn't put the Lord first, they still followed it and said, this is what we do. And now, it's even ones that go to church allow things that are said and done that they wouldn't even do back then, the ones that didn't go to church. So the culture, the world is changing it. It's corrupting it. It's making so we don't see the things. And we need to make sure we hold on to those things that we know that we're supposed to say, that we're supposed to act like, we're supposed to do, so we can be identified like that brother. And so when he goes down there, his speech, he says, no, I know you are. And he denies it. And this is what comes next. He says, then he began to curse and swear. So he began to curse and swear. So when we sit out there, and we've all been in situations where you're in, maybe you work somewhere where no one gets into church. You know, I have a job that is wonderful. I sell insurance, and so I get to go out and meet with people, and I keep the Bible in my bag when I go out, and I talk about, you're not supposed to talk about politics or religion when you're in sales. And I guarantee you, every house I get into, we get into religion, and I try to get into politics as much as I can, but we are going to get into religion in every house I'm at. And when we do that, I'm not afraid to talk about it. I love to, and I do live in a good area of the country that if they're not Primitive Baptist, somebody was Primitive Baptist that they had in their family. So they know it. They know what Primitive Baptist is. They understand it. And they'll a lot of times can tell you, oh, that's where the truth is. Now we go down here the road because, you know, they have good stuff for the kids, but the truth is over there. You know, so that's the kind of part of the country we live in, which is a blessing, but I talk about it as often as I can. I love to talk about it. But you know, this brother, he didn't just deny him and say, no, I don't know what he is, and say, that's not my speech. He starts to speak like the world. He starts to curse and swear. So not only is he denying him on saying, no, that's just not me, he wants to fit in with them. He's making sure that he's speaking and fitting in with them so they know, yes, he is one of us. He is not with Christ. He is one of us. There's a thing where you don't say anything when you should stand up and say something. And then there's a whole other thing of when you take it to the next level, when you join in it. You know, there's these different levels of not doing what we ought to do. And And the first one is when you stand by and you don't say anything. You stand by and you just let it go and you say, you know, I'm going to stay out of this. When you know it's our duty and responsibility to say something, and yet we stand there and we let it go. And then there's a whole nother level of when you take it to the next step and you start to speak like them and you start to engage in the actions that they're doing. Now you're on a whole nother level. You've taken it from, I'm just going to stand back and, you know, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to say anything. And now you've taken it to this level where I'm going to start acting like them. I'm going to start being a part of them. And so they can't tell the difference between me and them. Because there still is a difference when you're not joining in. But there's no difference when you start to speak like them and start to act like them. So he starts to curse and swear. And we go back to Luke after the third denial here. This is the thing that I love about Luke's account, his vantage point here, his account here. Verse 61. Let's go back up into verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. So all this is going on. Christ is being questioned. Christ is being, they are hitting him. They're spit upon him. And he's going through all this. Peter is over here and he's denying him. And he is making sure that they don't think he's got anything to do with Christ. And he denies him the third time. And amongst all that's going on, Christ stops and he looks up at Peter. Now, when you stop and you think about that right there, every time that you deny the Lord, every time you do things that the Lord, you know, has instructed us not to do, or you don't do the things that He's instructed us to do, you stop and you think about that. I like to stop and think about verse 61, and he looked upon Peter. Because every time the Lord can look at us and He sees what we're doing. He sees our actions. He hears our speech. He knows what we're doing. And you know, we are ones that we have the truth. So we understand the greatest piece of all, that we're not talking about our eternal salvation that is in jeopardy here. But you know what? The salvation of being in accordance with the Word of God is at jeopardy here. And we are a blessed people because the Lord has blessed us to understand eternal salvation. And I can't tell you enough. I used to always wonder how come Primitive Baptist preachers could never get out of... They could be in the stand and be preaching, and it didn't seem like it had anything to do with eternal salvation and how blessed we were to understand it, and it would still come up. And now, since I was liberated in November, I realize that it comes up often in my thoughts when I'm standing up here of thinking, you know what? We are truly blessed. And you know, to know that we have this eternal security that we can never lose. And now we get to sit that and say, you know what? We are blessed. We don't have to worry about that. That is taken care of. That's secured. Now let's follow and do what the Lord has instructed us to. Let's do the things that He's shown us. Why? Because we got the greatest gift given to us that could ever be given to us. And now we have a responsibility to do the things that we ought to do. And so when we sit there, we have this great peace, but we also know we have a great responsibility. And when we sit there and you stop to think about the Lord looked at Peter. He looked upon Peter. When He looks upon us, you know what? Peter knew that understanding. Peter knew. He had that understanding of the truth. Just like we have the understanding of the truth. And there is a responsibility that comes with the understanding of the truth that is greater than those that haven't been blessed with that understanding of truth. You know, they're sitting there worried about their eternal salvation and the things that they have to do. You know what? The Lord says, look, I blessed you with that understanding. I blessed you with that peace. Now you need to follow my words. You need to follow my commandments. You need to follow my teachings. You need to do what you ought to do. He's saying, because I'm looking down upon you. He said, I'm seeing what you're doing. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm right there with you. So you need to remember that. And when you stop to think about it, when we walk out in the world, come tomorrow. We take our first step out there to go to the world, go to our jobs, go out there. You stop and you start to think about the Lord being there, the Lord looking down on us. It does make you hesitate to not say, you know what? That's what, you know, I need to do this instead. I need to make sure I do this, and I do need to go over there and do this. Because when you stop and always think about before you do something, the Lord's right there. That is one of those things. It's like kids when they have their parents with them. They're less likely to get in trouble when their parents are right there with them. You know, when the parents go away, though, they're more likely to do something that they know they probably shouldn't do and they wouldn't do when the parents are with them. Well, then when you stop and you think about our Father is right there with us, then, boy, I tell you what, that puts something on you to make you not want to go out and you say, you know what, I don't need to do that. I'll go this way. I'll do what I need to do. Or, you know what, I need to be standing up and saying something, and I will say something because I know that the Lord would have me to do that. So He's right there. And when you have that thought, I tell you, it makes us be able to be better people, do the things that we need to do, be better stewards and disciples of Christ. So, verse 61 has always been pretty humbling for me in Luke, because he says he turned and he looked upon Peter. He looked at him and he saw him after he denied him three times. And there's a spot we'll go to back in John. So John has sat there and he's denied him. And what happens with him? After Christ looks at him, he sees it and he weeps bitterly. He goes out and he's weeping. You know, because that is a humbling thing to happen to Peter. He sees him. Peter sees him look up at him, and he knows what just happened. He has denied him three times. He has not followed him. He has not put him first. And he knows that Christ knows it. He knows that Christ knows it. All that Christ is going through, he still knows that Christ takes the time to stop and to look upon him. And he sees him and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. We've all been there. We've all done things that we're not supposed to do. We've all been in a point in our lives where we have just gotten so far away from the Lord. And I shouldn't say all of us. Let me rephrase that. I've been there. And I've been to a spot where I've gotten so far away from the Lord and I've not done what I should be doing and I haven't put him first. And I'm not going to church like I ought to. And I'm not reading His Word like I ought to. And when it finally, I can feel that the Lord has looked upon me and He's blessed me to see Him saying, "Brother, I know what you're doing. I know you're not in the right spot." You know what? You start to cry. You break down. And you know, from this point on, I need to turn and I need to go this way. And I need to start going to church more. I need to make sure I'm at church when the doors are open. I need to make sure I'm reading the Bible like I ought to. I need to make sure I'm praying for others like I need to be. So it's very humbling. And so you can picture and you can relate to Peter there when he goes out and weeps bitterly. I mean, you can relate to him. You've experienced, if you've experienced it, you understand what he was going through. So he sits there, but I love what happens with Peter. When we go over in John verses, when we get in chapter 20, now Peter's been through all this. He's denied him. He's been there. He's been broken down where he is weeping and he's upset at himself. But what happens? We get in verse 20 and we start to see Peter's change down where he is went back to putting the Lord first. Because Mary Magdalene comes to him and says, "They've moved the rock away. You know, there's something's going on." What happens? He takes off running. You know, him and John are running to the sepulchre and they're going, and John must have been in better shape because he outruns him. So he outruns him there, but John doesn't go in. What happens? Peter, he has no worries. He doesn't think. You see it. Peter doesn't worry about it. He doesn't put his own body, his own life in thought, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen if he goes in? What's going to happen to him? He doesn't think about it. He goes in. He puts the Lord first and saying, "What do I need to do?" He goes right in. You know, we get another example over in chapter 21. When they're out there fishing, Peter said, "I'm going to go out fishing." So out there fishing, and Christ is standing on the, comes at the shore, and he says, "Have you caught anything?" And they say, "No." And he said, "Cast the net on this side." And all of a sudden, John looked at him and said, that's the Lord. That's Christ. What does he do? He doesn't wait for the boat to get back to shore. He says no. And he jumps in and he goes to shore. He wasn't waiting on anything. He wasn't going to wait on anyone. He was going to find. He just jumps in so he can get to the Lord as fast as he can. That's what he did. And you know, when you stop and you need examples and you need to be sitting there, I always like to look at Peter in these spots right here on where he was. And before, when he was just gung-ho for the Lord, what happened when he got into where the rubber met the road and he denied the Lord, and then what happens when he realizes it and he says, you know what, I'm back on track, I'm going to put the Lord first. You know, and he says, this is what he does, and he swims to the Lord. He gets there before anybody else. And I love that this is a, when we get to 21, chapter 21, John 21, it's a thing that is another humbling thought to what Christ does to Peter. Christ does to Peter when he gets there after they've eaten. In verse 15, he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And I'm not going to get into the debate about what it is about what is he loving more than these, because I've sat up for hours with preachers and heard great examples of what they believe it to be, and other ones what they believe it to be. But the important part here is he's sitting there and he's talking to him and he's saying, do you love these more than me? And if you do, this is your responsibility. You feed my people. Feed them. You put that first. You feed them. And you know, when you stand up here and you stand up here before the Lord's people, I used to, my father in ministry, you all know him as Brother Philip Conley. He's been here recently, not too long ago. And I used to stand up and I'd be so worried because the preachers that I mean, I'm in a blessed area of the country where we have some very blessed men that can, I mean, any Sunday you can go and hear just a wonderful sermon. They are truly blessed. And I used to get up there and say, I can't, you know, I don't want to go to this church. They're used to hearing this brother preach. And I've never heard him not preach well. And he said, you know what, you can't compare yourself to those men. You know what, you don't compare yourself to them. You go there and you have one responsibility. That's to glorify the Lord and to feed his people. He said, I don't care what it is. You don't worry about that man that you're following or you're going there. And that's when I came down, when Brother Chris called me about coming down here. And I said, oh, they used to have Brother Ronald Lawrence. They got Brother Chris. I said, oh, man. And my father in ministry looks at me and he says, how many times do I got to tell you, you don't worry about that stuff? And I said, I know. But the natural man does think of those things. But he sits there and he says, you feed my lambs. You feed my people. If you love these things more than me, you feed my people. Now he goes through and he says this to him three times. And I love it that he says it to him three times, because on the third time, you can see that Peter's upset. Peter's upset about this. And I mean, I can't tell you exactly why, but when I read it, I always go back to seeing the three times that Peter denied Christ. And if you want to, something happens three times, and you know, I just feel with his that he's upset by it. And he says in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And you know what just happened a few chapters before? Three times Peter denied Christ. Three times he denied him. And you know, when something would have happened, he would have asked him three times, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than these? And you know, he's sitting there, yes. And the third time, Peter, are you sure you love me more than these? Because you know, you just denied me three times. And the third time, what do you think that brought back in? What emotions do you think Peter had back in what he was thinking? Look, I just denied the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I denied Him three times right over here when it got down to it. When he was going through the things that he was going to, I said, you know what? I know not this man. No, I'm not a part of this man. I'm not one of his. And he denied him, and he's sitting there and he says three times, do you love me? And all three times he says, you know what? You feed my sheep. I don't care what you need to do. Everything else, this is what you need to do. This is the most important thing in your life from here on out. This is what you do. You put me first. You make sure you put me where I'm supposed to be, and that's first in your life. And you feed my people. You make sure that this is what you do first. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what the world throws at you. This is what you do. You make sure you follow me and you feed my sheep. And so when you go and you look at Peter's accounts, it's very good for me. It's very good to see that he is gung-ho. And I picture that gung-ho in the beginning. Picture that sometimes how I am on a Sunday. And then how he denies him. I picture that me in the world. You know, how I am in the world sometimes where I forget to put the Lord first. And then I pray with everything that I've got that the Lord would bless me to make sure I remember that He is right there with me and He sees what I do so that I can act like Peter acts in these next chapters in his life. That you know what? He doesn't wait for the boat to go to shore. He jumps in and he swims to him. He doesn't walk to see what's going on. He runs and he doesn't worry about what might happen if he walks in there. He goes right in because you know why? He knows that the Lord is with him. He knows the Lord is with him, and he knows that if he follows the Lord, he will be taken care of, and he will be blessed. You know, and what I started with in Mark, it says that we gain... Let me just get that right. I'm one of those that cannot quote scriptures as well as a lot of men, but he says over here... He says, but you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. But he says right here, with persecutions. With persecutions. Now we know that we gain so much with this family we have. With the true church, we gain so much with it. But you know what? Mark's account right there. And you won't get it in every one of the gospel accounts. It won't say with persecution in every one of them. The vantage point is beautiful. Mark says, but it's going to be with persecution. So that doesn't mean, man, we, you know, it's just going to be all easy sailing. And I can assure you that you could talk to the older ones here and they could probably tell you more of the persecutions that the younger one of us have went through. But they've been through some persecutions. Now, all of us have had persecutions in our lives. But the older ones especially, you can sit down and you can talk to them. They've been through some things. But you know, I pray that I can remember that I've been given 100-fold of what I had before. When I put the Lord first. And I don't care what those persecutions are, that I remember that I need to keep the Lord first in my thoughts, in my actions, in my speech. I pray that the Lord would bless these few thoughts.